I've got about 25 minutes to talk and a lot of things to talk about. So I'm gonna get right to the point, since I don't want to mess around and then not talk about what I want to talk about. The last podcast, I talked about being really disappointed about, you know, having seen the pictures that I took. As a retoucher, when I look at these pictures, I was saying how I was firmly disappointed with the photographer, myself also, for not having given me the kind of variety that I expected or that I would be then able to composite images together, or give myself enough variety to tell a story with these pictures. So I got called out to share some of these pictures. I suppose I should put them out somewhere where you guys can all see it. But in a short discussion, basically, how do I say this? I was wrong. I knew I was wrong, actually. It wasn't like it took me to share pictures to figure out that I was wrong. I was wrong kind of when I made the podcast already. And so therein lies this strange discrepancy of, I didn't get what I want, and yet it was still a really good, it was a really good set. In fact, I actually said it was one of the, probably the best sets I'd ever had. Sets, not sex. Yeah, it was one of the best sets of images that I'd ever taken. And what I want to discuss is then, how is there that discrepancy? How is it possible that you just made a podcast, you just complain about all these pictures, about not getting variety, you just complain about how all the pictures were of her laying down, and then you say, well, this is one of the best shoots that, you know, I've had. How is that possible? What's going on? Where are the discrepancies? How can there be such a difference between what you're saying, what you're seeing, and what's going on, really? Okay, so that part has me troubled, because inherently I don't want to be, I'm not trying to be two-faced at all. I'm trying to be very honest, and the honesty, I think, there is true. It's both that I was disappointed and yet also yielded something pretty incredible. And I think maybe the two are tied together more in a way that I maybe am not aware of, if that makes any sense, right? So let me try to explain what I was seeing. And then I think if I draw some sort of conclusion, I think it all kind of makes a little bit more sense. I think as a retoucher, when I look at these pictures on the computer, I'm looking for something that is very formulaically, mathematically proven. And what that means is, I think in terms of layouts, in terms of variety, because I'm thinking in terms of how to wow my audience into being engaged, into wanting to see more. That's not how you would shoot if you're in the flow and rhythm of things, because that's more like a checklist. The way that a retoucher looks at images, or, you know what, let me be more clear, is that I'm looking at these images more as an editor is concerned. A retoucher is really only concerned with, you know, like photographic flaws and bad skin and like the kind of tedious work that he or she would have to do to fix these pictures. I'm more speaking from an editor's perspective. As an editor, what I'm trying to do is present a series of or set of images that is cohesive and also clear in its message of what it's trying to say. And as an editor, what I don't want to see is the same boring pictures, the same boring pose, something that lacks direction, consistency, appeal, all of that. I don't want any of that. I want something that is powerful, impactful, consistent, and communicates something clearly throughout the entire set of images. Okay, so as an editor, when I look at these pictures, or when I saw the pictures, I think what I was talking on podcast about was my first reaction. My gut reaction when I saw these pictures was, you've got a few bigger problems here, because the fact that she's covering herself more often than not presents somewhat of a kind of a variety challenge, because again, if she's covering herself in all the pictures, I can't get a lot of difference from one image to another. I can't present a different idea or some variation of that idea. It becomes a little bit flat, right? It has no highs and lows. That being said, and of course, and the other thing that I was saying, that all the pictures were of her, you know, in some way, shape, or form, not standing up, laying down or whatever, sitting. It's all groundwork. They weren't, none of them were of her standing up. And so I think just that dimension, or that lack of dimension, removed a big chunk of what could have been more variety. So that's how I initially perceived it as an editor. However, as I later on found and was retouching and really culling through the one specific set, actually, it's not even the whole shoot, it's one set. As I was looking through these pictures, I remarked, and I started to realize that I had way more good shots than I needed, and I had way more variety, even if it was of her laying on the ground or of her on the ground doing things on the ground. It was just, there was that much variety. There were that many good shots. There were that many differences in composition. A lot of it, actually, I'd have to, if you know, whether it's my shoot or not, I have to give the photographer credit for providing me, as a retoucher or the editor even, of different compositions. And I really appreciate that, because that allows me to cobble together more difference, more contrast, especially with side-by-side images or top and bottom images, or you know what we call what's the industry word, you know, when it's diptychs, or you know, basically multi-page or panel layouts, where you're putting together different or more than one image together to present that idea or present that story. So while initially, yes, I was kind of disappointed, I later on realized that there were things and elements about that set specifically that gave me a little bit more range than I'm actually used to seeing out of my own pictures. So where I was lacking in maybe not being formulaic and maybe not being mathematical about, oh, you didn't get any standing shots, or oh, you didn't get more shots of not covering, where I was less formulaic that way, I was more free in other ways to just explore and flow through the rhythm of things and get shots that I'm not accustomed to getting. And so I think that is the resolution to the answer to, I guess, the question, which is, how can you be disappointed and also really pleased or really happy with that set? How can you have both? And I think the initial reaction of being disappointed was towards the kind of the more traditional lack of variety. The how come there's no standing shots? How come everything is laying down? Or how come everything is a little bit more covered? That's the initial gut reaction. But when you start to kind of peel away the layers of that onion, you start to see that there's actually a lot more to work with than you initially realize. And that depth was only made available because you let go of the mathematical awareness, or you let go of the formulaic way that you typically shoot of, oh, you got to get this shot, or you got to get this shot, you have to do different crops, or you have to do, you know, the checklist of things that you're running through your head. So that's the answer to the question. And, I hate to misrepresent myself, which is why I felt the need to talk about this. In my conversation on Facebook with some of you guys about how good or how bad this set was, it became obvious to me that this was one of the best sets I'd ever had or that I've ever shot. So it was very difficult for me to reconcile that difference. And it wasn't even until just now being able to talk through it that I kind of understand what happened and why there can be that bipolarness or bipolar reaction to, and both sides having valid points to what is otherwise just a single set from one shoot. And so that's that. I guess there's not a whole lot else I want to talk about, you know, as far as that one is concerned. I'm headed out to another shoot right now. I hope to retain that flow. Really, a lot of what I'm discovering is more of a comfort level of being able to just do things. I'm expanding my comfort zone. It's not like I'm staying within a more narrow band. I think what's happening is I'm broadening that band of what I'm comfortable with. One of the things that I've discovered, for example, is that I'm exploring locations in a way that I would typically have shied away from. For example, I've been at this office, or I've been in this building for, wow, I'm coming up on 2 years. And for the first year and a half, I never shot outside the studio. Like my own unit, I never shot outside of it. So the obvious question is why? Well, the obvious answer is, well, I shoot a lot of nudity. I can't be running around our building shooting, you know, naked pictures of girls, you know, especially when other people are working or living there. It's not appropriate. But the other reason to that question, or the other answer to the question, is also that I'm afraid. There are a lot of photographers that I think I've mentioned that I'm very jealous of, that they can just ask their model to just stand out naked in the middle of a busy street, and they have no issues with getting in trouble. Well, I do. I don't like that. It's not my cup of tea. I get very nervous, and when I get nervous, I start to clamp down on that style of shooting, and the type of shots that I get, you know, becomes very narrow, becomes very constricted, and becomes very forced. And I'm trying to rush things because I want to get the hell out of there as fast as I can so that we're not discovered. That's hard. Well, that slowly, it's not that I'm going to be able to do an about face and completely be comfortable with that, but that's slowly starting to change. For example, mid this year, I started shooting outside the studio. I started finding places in the building that I could shoot that were nice to shoot, and still relatively obscure and out of sight, but I was starting to push my own boundaries of comfort, of where I thought that, where and how I felt like I was able to shoot. So stepping outside my own comfort zone, or broadening my own comfort zone, has been eye-opening, because it has allowed me and forced me to do things differently. And slowly, for me, it's very important to be slowly acclimated to that level of, or that new level of, where my comfort zone is. And some of that has to do with makeup. For example, I was afraid of doing makeup in the beginning, and now I'm starting to get a little bit more comfortable with that. Some of that has to do with just confidence, just, you know, maybe some of it is momentum, because if you're not shooting a lot and then you suddenly have to shoot again, you're a little rusty, feel a little behind the ball. And then the other part of that confidence equation is just your own personal confidence, how you feel about yourself. That has nothing to do with shooting or not. And some of that confidence has to do with how you're feeling that day. So everything, there's certainly a lot of variables that go into making a shoot happen. It's when you add it all up, there are a lot of things going on. There are a lot of moving parts, no matter how you try to slice and dice it and try to control for different X factors and variables with models and timing, and there's just a ton of things that are going on. That's how a shoot is. And it's partially why consistent results over time are, is and always is a challenge, isn't always will be a challenge, because on any given day there are 20 different things that could go wrong, and it's difficult. You can't control for every single variable. That's what's going on. It's gotten better. It's gotten easier. Certain things have gotten easier. I think my comfort level with just shooting in general has gone up tremendously. And I think that is reflected in the images that I'm seeing. So I don't know really what else to talk about in this podcast. That was the main chunk of it. And I mean, there are all sorts of little things that I want to also discuss, but I don't want to convolute the matter. I want to give you something that is a little bit more consistent, something that is a cohesive idea, and whatever I want to talk about later, I'll talk about later. So thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you guys all soon. Peace.